Each candidate will be given 2 minutes to make their personal introduction and statement of position. They will be asked questions. They will be given 1 minute to make their response. And at the end of the question period, they will be given time for a closing statement of 2 minutes. Gentlemen, in front of you, you will see some orange 3x5 cards. If at some point you wish to make a rebuttal to what your opponent has stated or add to after your time has run out, you may use those cards for that purpose. I'll take them away from you because you're only allowed three, and you will have 1 minute for the rebuttal. Again, the questions were submitted from a chamber survey, and Brian will be drawing them randomly from a bowl over there. Now, we've changed our format a little bit this year. We will begin with the first candidate. The second candidate will also have a chance to answer that question. We won't be doing different questions as we go along. Each candidate will have an opportunity to respond to every question. Is that clear as mud to everybody? Okay. And Amanda over here is holding up a yellow and a red piece of paper. At 10 seconds left on your allotted time, she'll hold up the yellow. At the end of your allotted time, she'll hold up the red, and I will politely ask you to stop. And if that doesn't work, we'll cut off the microphone. So please be cognizant of what we're doing there, and we're trying to make this as objective and as impartial as we can. Okay, I think we've got everybody introduced. Now for our candidates. The first section of our forum tonight will be for the candidates for the North Carolina House of Representatives. There is Mr. Robert Cordell and Mr. Dudley Green. So, Mandy, if you're ready, I will begin with Mr. Cordell. We do this alphabetically. So Mr. Cordell will begin. He will have 2 minutes to make his opening statement, and I encourage both of you to speak into the microphones.
Good evening, everyone. I want to thank y'all for being here tonight. I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce for hosting us. As I've said multiple times, and y'all will probably hear me say time again, is that I believe the best kind of voter is an informed one. So I'm running for the State House. I served my country in Afghanistan with the Army. I served my community in McDowell County as a volunteer firefighter and a first responder. And now I'm looking to serve you all at the State House. As I think you will see tonight, that my platform isn't a Democratic one. It's not a Republican one. It's not even a Libertarian one. It's a popular one. My platform consists of ideas and policies that affect all of us and that will help all of us. I want to fund our schools. I want to pay our teachers. I want to help our disabled veterans and those that suffer from chronic pain. I want to protect our environment for future generations to come. And I, once again, thank y'all for being here.
Okay. Next, Mr. Dudley Green.
Well, good evening. And likewise, I appreciate all of y'all for being here. I appreciate the opportunity to currently serve as your representative for the 85th District. My name is Dudley Green, and I've been serving in that capacity for the last 2 years. Prior to that, I was a 30-year law enforcement veteran. The last 10 years of that, I served as sheriff of McDowell County. I was raised in Avery County, graduated Avery High School in 1981. I went to Malin Community College, got involved in criminal justice, ended up marrying a McDowell County girl, and eventually we moved there, and that's where we currently make our home. Thank you again to the district for allowing me to represent you. Thank you to the chamber for having this event. I told folks last year as I was coming in, and it's no different this time, that I wanted to be a voice for reason and common sense conservatism in our General Assembly, and that's what I have tried to do, and that's what I hope to do in the future, as well as stand for business and public safety in particular. Thank you.
Okay, we'll begin with our questioning, and the first question will go to Mr. Cordell, and then Mr. Green will answer as well.
Mr. Cordell, this is really a two-part question. Do you support a flexible calendar for schools? And the second part is, how about a year-round calendar?
Well, thank you for that question. As a parent of a five-year-old and a kindergartner who is in a year-round school, I 100% support year-round school and flexible schedules.
Mr. Green?
Yes, I would support a flexible calendar. I have had conversations, particularly with McDowell County. I think Mitchell and Avery, some of those areas, have actually some options that even McDowell County doesn't. I think the problem is that the travel and tourism interests in the state some years ago got involved in that discussion, and I think there were some adjustments made to the calendar, and so some of those who were there at that particular time are kind of, I think, made some long-term commitments that they're kind of inflexible about, but I have pledged to do my part to calendars give local boards some flexibility.
Okay, I don't know if you're having microphone problems or not. Hold on just a minute there. You want to switch a mic with him? That'll work.
Okay. Hello, is that one working?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Second question will be asked of Mr. Green first.
Mr. Green, again, this is another two-part question. First part is, what is your position on the Second Amendment? And the second part is, do you think there should be a restriction on semi-automatic weapons?
I am generally an avid Second Amendment supporter. I believe in responsible gun ownership. As sheriff, my office issued untold hundreds of weapons permits over the years and concealed permits over the years. And so I am a supporter of responsible gun ownership. Now, that does not necessarily mean that I am a supporter of totally unrestricted gun ownership. I do believe that some reasonable restrictions should be put in place. Especially with regard to criminal histories and mental health histories and so forth like that. Semi-automatics, they're a part of our culture. I don't know that I totally support high-capacity magazines and other weapons of mass destruction.
Mr. Cordell?
So this is where I somewhat depart from a lot of mainstream Democrats. I am a huge proponent of the Second Amendment, and I would 100% protect the Second Amendment. And as far as semi-automatic weapons go, the only thing that I would consider as your next House of Representative is raising the age of semi-automatic weapons to 21. Now, I'd also like to note that if you check the NRA's website, you will see that they have given me a grade of A, and they have given my opponent a grade of C. So once again, I'm a strong proponent of the Second Amendment, and I will support it as your next House representative.
Okay. Question number three is to Mr. Cordell.
Mr. Cordell, if there was more funding for our schools, where do you think it would be best used?
Well, sir, there could be more funding for our schools. Instead, we're sitting on a $6 billion rainy day surplus. And I think that money should first and foremost go to our teachers. Our teachers' starting salary is 44th in the nation. And to me, that is appalling and embarrassing. Our teachers deserve more, and they deserve better.
Mr. Green?
Could you repeat the question for
me? Yes, sir. Mr. Green, if there was more funding for our schools, where do you think it would be best used?
Well, one thing that I would be a proponent of is school safety. We've seen some tragic situations in some schools throughout our country, and that would be the first place I would go. I don't think North Carolina necessarily has a problem with funding in schools as much as it does what it does with the funds they get. Our state budget, it was a kind of an eye-opener to me. 58% of our state budget is spent on education. 58% on that one issue. You got roads, you have justice, you have all these other things. 58% being spent on education. So I do think that we could probably redirect a lot of those funds and get more bang for the buck. And that would be my response to that question. Was there a part two to that question? That's what I was trying to think of.
No, sir.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Question number four for Mr. Green.
What is the greatest issue facing the citizens of this House district, and what are your plans to address this issue?
Probably the biggest issue facing this district, or the one that I think we need to work on the most, is economic development. I mean, for years, the eastern part of our state has probably had the opportunity to take advantage of some things that I'm not sure in years past that Raleigh knew there was anything. They thought that Raleigh thought that anything past Statesville might have been in Tennessee or something. I don't know. So I think our mountain region here has been left out of a lot of economic opportunities that I think hopefully we're starting to address and are starting to be addressed, and that we can take better advantage of in the future.
Mr. Cordell?
From what I've learned from going around and talking to people and knocking on doors, is affordable housing is one of the greatest issues in our district. And I did a little bit of research into that. Here in Mitchell County, 31% of renters struggle to pay rent. In Avery County, 44% struggle to pay their rent. McDowell County, it's even worse, with 46%. And in Yancey County, 37%. So there's a lot of people that have housing insecurity, and we have, at the state level, government agencies and trusts that are set aside to fund affordable housing. So the Affordable Housing Fund started with $50 million budget. I think it's now down to $7 million. So we need to allocate our funds where they're best gonna help the people in our district.
Okay, we're good? All right, next question from Mr. Cordell.
There is so much talk in the media about the liberal agenda, woke mob, social credit scores, etc. Do you have any thoughts to share on those topics?
I honestly don't even know what that is. Like, am I woke because I believe in equality and equity and social justice? If that makes me woke, then I guess I'm awake. I don't know, maybe everybody else is asleep.
Mr. Green?
Yes, I think some of the terminology is dealing with some of the things that particularly we see in our education system that our children are being subjected to in terms of learning programs or things that are occurring. Wherein it seems like that one race is being promoted over another, and some races are being asked to feel inferior to other races. Those are some things that I just do not support. Anytime you get one race being promoted over another race, I don't think that's fair. In addition to that, we've seen all kinds of pushes from the left about defunding police and those kind of things. My position has been we need to defend the police, and we need to give them the resources they need. You just can look at Asheville or San Francisco or places like that.
Thank you, sir.
So to caveat what Dudley was just saying, as far as the promotion of one race over another in our school systems, that does not exist. That is fictitious as can be. I believe in teaching our kids about our history. I don't know about Mr. Green, but I don't want a repeat of slavery, and that's going to happen if we do not educate our children.
Okay, we good? Next question to Mr. Green.
Do you support Medicaid expansion? Why or why not?
My answer to that would be a definite maybe. There's a lot about that question that's under consideration right now. We've heard a lot of discussion about it. I do think there are some things that we need to try to do to close the coverage gap for some of our citizens. Whether that's adopting the full federal Medicaid model or not, is a question that is still under consideration. There was a study commissioned the last part of the last long session to determine what the actual impact would be for North Carolina in terms of what does it cost and how many people are we going to be able to cover. I don't believe in writing a blank check out there. I think in doing that, that goes back to some of what we saw back when Bev Perdue was governor, and the Democratic General Assembly will put our state back in debt. So I don't think we can write a blank check. I think we've finally gotten our state on firm economic funding, and the argument's always brought up about this rainy day fund, like it's some big gigantic pile of money out there. When in reality, there's enough money there to fund the state and keep the state in operation for about 4 or 5 months. And thank goodness, the General Assembly over the last several years has worked hard to build that that fund, and we don't need to raid it right now. So the other part about that, about Medicaid expansion, is I don't want to get into a thing where we're disincentivizing people to work. Because I hear from business owners all the time, that's one of the biggest problems they have with their business is finding help.
Okay, thank you.
So the Republican...
Are you wanting to challenge?
I haven't had a chance to answer.
Oh, you... I'm sorry?
Right?
My bad.
I got a really bad memory, too. So.
Go for it.
All right. So Medicaid expansion has been a maybe in our General Assembly for the past 8 years. To me, it's a no-brainer. Nowhere does Medicaid expansion hurt the workforce. I have no idea where that idea even came from. What it does, what it will do, is provide over 500,000 North Carolinians with health care coverage. And this includes substance abuse treatment, mental health counseling. These are all preventative measures that cost us a lot less to address now than they will later on. So we should expand it. We should have done it 8 years ago, and we should do it now.
Okay. Challenge?
Well, if Mr. Cordell is not aware of how that could harm the workforce, let me just kind of inform him. These entitlements and these things that we're giving people to stay home and not work is a detriment to our economy, and it will be a firm, fast drain on it, like we're seeing with the federal government right now. I don't know if you've looked at inflation numbers, but they're going up by the day, and you cannot spend yourself out of debt.
Okay, I think I've got my head back in the game. We're back to Mr. Cordell being asked question number 7.
Oh, is there a number of questions we're being asked tonight?
Do what now?
Is there a specific number of questions we're getting asked?
Until he runs out or we run out of time.
We've got two more.
Let's just clean it out.
Okay. I want to make sure I use mine if I need to. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Cordell, in what ways do you feel like you have helped or can help Mitchell County?
That is a good question. I believe that my platform, as I previously stated, will help all of Mitchell County. Expanding Medicaid will help Mitchell County. Funding affordable housing will help Mitchell County. Paying our teachers more so they stay in North Carolina and they don't travel to Virginia, Tennessee, or South Carolina, will they make more money, will help Mitchell County.
Okay, Mr. Green.
Well, yes, sir, and I am proud of our record of what we've been able to accomplish as a first-term representative. Let me say this, I've had an excellent partner on the other side of the building there in Senator Heiss. And I have been happy to support a number of initiatives that he has undertaken, and he's supported some of mine to try to help Mitchell County together. And again, I've told you my position on some of the federal spending, but we had a historic opportunity here in some money that was coming down from the federal government. As much as I have mixed emotions about that, that money was going somewhere. And I would a whole lot rather it come to this district than I would Charlotte or Raleigh or somewhere else. So trying to leverage that and take advantage of those opportunities, we've been able to bring about $27 million worth of local projects and funding to Mitchell County, get it directed here, doing
the
law enforcement center.
Make me out to be the bad guy here. Okay, Mr. Green, you're up for question number 8.
How will you support our agriculture and farmers in our area?
Well, I talked a little bit about the fact that I was a career law enforcement, but I was also raised in a small business family. My father was in the shrubbery business in Avery County, so not only small business do I have a heart for, but I have an agribusiness heart. Agriculture put cornflakes on our table for a number of years. I have met with the people here in the extension office. We've talked through a number of initiatives that hopefully we can do, support our education system here in North Carolina to bring more education to about agribusiness to North Carolina, and take advantage of other opportunities that arise.
Mr. Cordell.
So one of the aspects of my platform that I talked about a little bit earlier as far as helping disabled veterans and people that suffer from chronic pain is the legalization of cannabis. Not only will this help our veterans and people suffering from chronic pain, it'll also help our farmers and it'll help our state. There's a projected $300 million in tax revenue from legalizing cannabis. And studies have shown that when states legalize medical cannabis, opioid overdoses go down. So it's a win-win-win for me, and it's a win for our farmers.
Okay. You got one more question? Was that it?
That's it.
Okay, gentlemen. Give you an opportunity now with your closing statements. Mr. Green, we'll begin with you.
All right. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here and the opportunity to represent you. Just going back on where I kind of ran long on time a while ago, I was pleased to be able to be a part of directing about $5 million to build a new law enforcement center here in Mitchell County, about $1.1 million for the Mitchell County High Field, about $4.5 million for YMCA, about $350,000 for Brad Reagan Park renovations, $8 million for school construction, $2 million for recreation complex upgrades, $300,000 for Spruce Pine infrastructure, about $3.8 million for Malin Community College renovations, $250,000 for the Beulah Dean Foundation, $75,000 for Neighbors Feeding Neighbors, and about $2 million for right here in Bakersville for water and sewer improvements and infrastructure. And I pledge to you that, I want to continue to be a voice for reason and common sense conservatism in your House of Representatives, and I'll keep working hard to represent the interests of Mitchell County. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cordell?
So there's one issue that didn't come up. I would like to address that. I would like for Mr. Green to have an opportunity to state his opinion on record as well, and that's women's reproductive freedom. So whether or not you support, whether or not you're pro-choice, pro-life, whatever you want to call it, my stance is I'm anti-government infringement. How much more government infringement can you have than in a government that says and dictates what someone can do with their own body? Traditional Republicans would have rejected that 100%, and I do not understand why the Republicans in our General Assembly today are all for it.
Okay, we'll bend the rules here a little bit due to the challenge. Go ahead.
Okay. Ronald Reagan said, I've noticed about everybody that is in favor of abortion has already been born. And I think that's true. I am generally pro-life. I realize that in the early term, there may be a need for a doctor and his patient or the mother to have some options, particularly when it involves cases of rape or incest or the mother's health. But if I've got to be labeled in a box, put me in that pro-life box, because I don't know what legislation will come across. You know, North Carolina's law when Roe v. Wade was overturned reverted back to what it was earlier, and it's so that's going to be looked at. But I could not support and would likely oppose any bill that had provisions there for late-term abortions or partial birth abortions.
Who said you can't have perpetual motion?
I would like for the general public to be made more aware is that the General Assembly isn't just going after reproductive rights for women. They're also going after your contraceptives. In a House bill, 453, which Dudley voted for, it says not once but twice, whereas it is well established that human life begins at conception. Once you have that established into law, what does that mean for IVF? What does that mean for contraceptives? And I'm not a gynecologist, I'm not a contraceptive expert, but I do know that there's a lot of contraceptives out there that make it so the egg can't attach to the uterine wall. So in other words, that would be outlawed. And that scares me.
Okay. Well, you have had your time. You've spoken your piece. Thank you for your courtesy and professionalism, both of you. Thank you, audience, for listening to this discussion. And with that, our House portion of the forum is over.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. We'll... Yes, very much. We'll clean house here a little bit and get ready for our county commissioners.